The Florida community of mindfulness is happy to make these talks available to you. If you find this talk to be a benefit, please consider making a donation to support us. You'll find a donation button on the talks section of our website, floridamindfulness.org. Thank you, and may you be happy and free of suffering.
There is a simple way to become a Buddha. Okay, so please pay attention for all those who think, wow, you know, I've never thought of it, but, you know, now that there's a simple way, you know, maybe I may entertain the notion of becoming an awakened being. Okay, so he says there's a simple way to become a Buddha, and then he enumerates what that is. When you refrain from unwholesome actions, are not attached to birth and death, and are compassionate toward all sentient beings, respectful of seniors and kind to juniors, not excluding or desiring anything with no designing thoughts or worries, you will be called a Buddha. Do not seek anything else. All right? Can you see how simple this is? Right? I mean, you refrain from unwholesome actions, not attached to birth and death, compassionate toward all beings, respectful of seniors and juniors, not excluding or designing anything with no designing thoughts. So that's only five things, right? So we need to keep it simple, right? In Buddhism, we have many, many teachings. Anyone who's read Buddhism knows it's voluminous teachings that can intrigue us and entertain us and enlighten us for you know, lifetimes. And then we have what are called these pith teachings. Pith like the pit. You know, the pit, you know, from that little pit, from that little seed, comes the whole tree, right? So from these pith teachings comes the whole development of practice, okay? So let's spend a few moments and then talk about it. So there's a simple way to become a Buddha. Now, again, we are one of the things everyone complains about these days is what? How busy they are, right? We don't have a lot of time. So please pay attention. For those who don't have a lot of time, this is just how you do it, even though you're very busy in your life. Okay. First, refrain from unwholesome actions. Now, I know there's been a lot of, other people present here, I've presented here over the years. I think you're very familiar that the cultivation of wholesome action and the non-cultivation of unwholesome actions is very much part of our practice, right? Unwholesome actions are simply actions that disturb the mind. Right? When we act in an unwholesome way, an unskillful way, toward ourselves, to someone else, and the actions of our body, speech, and mind, we know because it does not, it agitates us. It disturbs us. Right? And it disturbs the harmony and quality of our relations. I mean, is that clear? While on the other hand, wholesome actions, actions that come from understanding, from wisdom, from intelligence, from love, from kindness, from patience, from acceptance, from understanding, you know, wholesome actions, you know, feel good and support a harmonious, peaceful mind. Unwholesome actions support an agitated, conflicted, a mind that is not at ease, a mind that is dissatisfied. Is that clear? So, you know, in Buddhism, there are lots of categories of, you know, they're listed, wholesome, unwholesome actions, for those of you who want to see what they are. But I think if you just observe yourself, just watch your mind, watch your speech, watch your actions, you will see very clearly in your own experience that when you think and speak and act in a certain way that supports goodness in yourself and others, and when we do the opposite, that supports the opposite, okay? So this is not anything profound, right? I think anybody who has any kind of self-awareness, right, and has some criteria within themselves between what is wholesome and unwholesome in life, can easily discern within themselves their, again, actions of body, speech, and mind in relationship to all the people in their life, the people they live with, the people they're friendly with, the people their family, the people they work with, and just all their general relationships of all type. They can see what which are wholesome and unwholesome. And so he says the first thing, just refrain from unwholesome. Right? He doesn't even demand that we practice the wholesome. So for those of you who, you know, think, wow. No, just refrain. And refraining is easy. Right? Because to do means it's much more active. You know, you have to kind of learn a lot of new things to do and all that. But not doing is simple. Just what? First of all, just keep the mouth shut. Okay? There. You know, we have now refrained from unskillful, unwholesome speech. Right? I may not have a clue about what wholesome speech is, but I kind of know I just got to stop the unwholesome. Is that so? Refraining is not hard. You know, not, you know, we have, and some of us may be not believe this, but our mind actually has a relationship with our hands. So the actions of our hands are not free unto themselves, right? We can't refrain our hands from reaching, right? Is that clear? Refrain from actions that are unwholesome with our body, the things we do to our body and with our body that are not wholesome, we can refrain, right? One of the things that we teach our young children and one of the things we teach our animals, our dogs, or what? No, right? That's what refrain means. So we need to learn to have the capacity to say no to ourselves. No, don't do that. That's not wholesome. That's going to create unwholesomeness, unskillfulness, conflict, okay? You know, that's going to lead to negative consequences. Don't do it. Okay? Don't say it. Because it's the actions of the body and the speech that can be seen. So they have the kind of the most effect. Now, what goes on in here is private, you see. Now, hopefully, we are learning to say no within our minds to our thoughts. I mean, this is where everything begins. Our thoughts, our impulses, our desires, our, you know, this is all being generated in the mind. You know, by shutting this off, and kind of keeping this thing under control, now we can look to our minds and learn to, again, like you're learning in meditation today, right? When the mind goes off, you say no to it. Come back. Right? Come back to your body. Come back to your breath. Come back to that which is wholesome. Right? So this refraining from unwholesome actions is a good starting point. And again, everybody can do it. At least we can begin with the speech and the body, and in time through the practice of meditation and mindfulness and other kinds of mind trainings, we can learn to refrain the mind from going into negative, afflictive places in terms of thoughts and feelings. I mean, is that clear? Yeah, it's kind of simple. As you said, this is simple. Now, second was not attached to birth and death. That may be a little harder. Now, birth and death, when he says do not be attached to birth or death, he's really talking, he's using that as like a code. Okay. Birth and death are like, in our world, human beings, those are like the biggest change, right? New life comes into the world, big change, right? Life dies, big change, okay? So when we talk about the world of birth and death, we talk about the world of change, right? And things are changing all the time. Every day, what's going on in the world is really just about change. This one did this. This one did that. This one didn't do this. This one did. This is happening here. This is happening there, right? Change. People are changing. They say one thing one day. They say another thing the other day, right? Things go good this day. Things go bad, you know. The world of change. Things are changing within us, within our own body, mind, our health, our, you know, things are changing with the people around us. Things are changing with people at work. Things are changing all the time. Jobs are changing. World is changing. Climate is changing, right? All of that. That's called the world of birth and death, the world of change. Do not be attached. Simple. Now, when he says do not be attached, he's not saying be indifferent. Who cares? No. Attached means attached to, it's got to be one way or the other. See, that's attachment. We hold on and we don't accept that change is normal. We're attached to things being a certain way. When we're attached and we don't accept change and instability and impermanence of things, we will what? We will suffer. And we will cause suffering to others. Right? So, he's not saying, you know, be indifferent to the world of change. He's saying understand it and not be attached and let it unfold, which it will anyhow. Have you noticed that? People are who they are, whether you like it or not. People do what they do, whether you like it or not. Things unfold according to causes and conditions, whether you like it or not. It's getting over that liking and disliking things, which we think is so normal, and learning to say the world is just what it is. People who are just what they are, they're all just being driven by their own causes and conditions. That's just the way it is. Right? We all know that. And our, you know, it's only, you know, the real issue is only, how do I want to be in relationship to that? How do I want to be? So we refrain from unwholesome actions. We're not attached to birth and death, which means we're not attached to life being one way or the other, including yourself. You know, you may not want to even accept yourself. Right? You may want to go, yeah, I should be like this, but I shouldn't be like that. Right? I should have these kinds of thoughts. I shouldn't have those kinds of thoughts. That's because we have an attachment to how we think things should be, even how I should be. Don't be attached to anything. Let things be. You are who you are because of your causes and conditions. Your mind is the way it is because of its causes and conditions. That's all. Work with it. How do we work with it? To heal and transform. So he says, be not attached. This is, you know, in Buddhism, you know, what is the source of suffering? Attachment. We want to hold on. We want to grab. We want to stop things from unfolding. We want to make them unfold the way we want. Only a source of suffering. Right? I mean, but you know that, don't you? Anybody not know that? Okay. So refrain from unwholesome actions. Be not attached to birth and death. Be compassionate toward all sentient beings. Oh. I mean, how simple is that? Right? So we live in a world, many, many different kinds of people, of all kinds and shapes, etc., and races, and I don't know what, genders, and orientations, and religions, and ideologies, and values, right? Right? Myriad differences. And yet, the truth is, everybody is the same. Everybody's the same. Everybody wants to be happy, and nobody wants to suffer. Is that clear? That's the commonality of this life. So how do we relate to everyone? Be compassionate. Be kind. Be loving. And want to free them from their suffering, whoever they are, whatever their ideology, whatever their race, whatever their religion. They suffer. What's our relation? So rather than getting into the whole difference thing and being attached to this and picking and choosing, and not, you know, just be, they all suffer. The people on the right suffer and the people on the left suffer. Right? The people who believe in climate change and the people who don't believe in climate change, they all suffer. When people aren't suffering, when people have wholesome minds, good things will happen in this world. But as long as people suffer, as long as people's minds are clouded by suffering, as long as people's minds are clouded by their attachments, as long as people cannot refrain themselves from unwholesome actions, we will continue to have the world we have. Is that clear? But we can talk about that. So be compassionate to all beings. And then he just says, and then respectful to seniors, kind to juniors. So, Dogen was the, 13th century, probably Japan was very hierarchical, you know. And probably, you know, you're very clear who your seniors were, who your juniors were, you know. So, be respectful and kind. But I would say we're sort of beyond that. You know, we don't hopefully live in such a stratified hierarchical society. We should be respectful and kind to everyone. Again, you know, these instructions, refrain from that which is unwholesome. Don't be attached. Then how can I be in the world? You know, how do I relate to beings? Beings that I live with, beings that I work with, beings that I run into the grocery store, being that I pass in traffic. How do I relate to them? With kindness, with respect. They're all human beings. I mean, isn't that ideally how we would like the people of the world to relate to us? I mean, if you think about it, yeah. Wow, I would love if everybody, I mean, not like they bow down to me, you know, but they're just respectful. They notice I'm a human being too, just like them. And that's respected. The basic dignity of being a human being is respected. And we're kind, we're friendly. We greet all human beings as our friend. They don't have to be our closest friend. They don't have to be our bosom buddy, but we offer friendship to everybody. Respectful and kind. Then he says, not excluding or desiring anything with no designing thoughts or worries. Isn't that wonderful? How's the temperature in here, by the way? Good? Okay. Oh, I'm the one drinking tea. No wonder I'm warm. No. See, I always think the problem's out there, right? And then he says, not excluding or desiring anything with no desiring thoughts. So everybody just close their eyes for a moment. So in a certain sense, when we do meditation, that's what we're learning to do. The instructions are do not exclude thoughts or sounds or sensations in the body, and don't try to make anything happen. Right? with no designing thoughts. Designing means sort of strategizing. We're trying to make something happen, trying to design something, thoughts or worries. So just relax your mind for a moment. Just for the moment, don't try to push anything away, don't try to pull anything in, right? There's just kind of imagine your mind is just an open, spacious awareness, or just like the sky. Right? The sky doesn't exclude anything. Anything can go through it. Clouds can go through it. Planes can go through it. Birds can go through it. Just imagine for a moment your mind is just like that. It doesn't need to push anything away. It doesn't need to go after anything. Just right now, as it is, it's fine. In this moment, everything is fine. You're not trying to make anything happen. And you're not worried about what will happen or could happen. You have no designing thoughts or worries. So just for a moment, just see for a moment, you can just relax your mind. Even if you're physically uncomfortable, that's okay too. Nothing's excluded. Good things aren't excluded, bad things aren't excluded. We're not hankering for the good and rejecting the bad. We're like a just open, spacious sky. And see how that feels, even for a moment. To have a mind that doesn't strategize, doesn't plan, doesn't worry, doesn't ruminate, doesn't obsess. Is not dissatisfied with anything. It's like your breath. Just comes in, pulls the air in, and expels it when it's no longer needed, and a fresh breath is taken. There's no drama in the breath. Just breathe. The mind that doesn't seek anything, doesn't need anything, doesn't reject anything. Everything is fine. There are good people, there are bad people. Good things happen, bad things happen. That's just the way it is. See if you can just for a moment, can just relax and let go. You can pick everything up again later if you want. Not excluding or desiring anything with no designing thoughts or worries. Now, if you've been refraining from unwholesome actions so your mind is not agitated by their results, if you're not attached to the endless changes of the world, but let them be and accept, if you've been generating compassion, kindness, respect toward all beings, you can see that when you just come to this place of relaxing and opening the mind, it's much easier. Oh, this feels okay. Just sitting here, in the meditation hall, nothing to do, everything's okay. Nothing to worry about. Nothing to be agitated about. In this moment, in this very moment, can you be at ease with yourself, your mind, and everything, just as it is? Not needing anything, not needing to add anything to this moment. in this moment, everything is fine, just the way it is. Just like the sounds of the traffic outside, being generated by the movement of the cars, in your mind, thoughts come and go. You're not attached, you're not pushing anything away. Everything is okay. We need to learn to touch this place of okayness within ourself, where even for a few moments we can let go of all the activity, all the agitation, all the needs and the wants and the dramas and the ruminations and, right, the judgments. Just, sitting here, breathing in and out in mindful awareness, everything is fine. Everybody has this place within themselves. This is our natural state. State of ease and natural well-being. Can you for a moment just let yourself touch that? Can you just let go and don't think about it? This is the simple way to become a Buddha. Refraining from unwholesome actions, not being attached to the world of change, birth and death, being compassionate toward all beings, respectful, kind, not excluding or desiring anything, with no designing thoughts or worries. Dogen says, if you do all this, you will be called a Buddha. Do not seek anything else but this. So let's talk about this. Do you believe there really is a simple way to become a Buddha? Do you believe this sounds, these five or six instructions are coherent and make sense and are doable by everyone sitting in this room? Anybody have any questions or challenges or think this is nuts? Yes. Uh-huh. How does that wanting to create change that's in your mind? Mm-hmm. Just, but the teaching says that it sounds like that shouldn't be the case. That it's just is. This is being live streamed to members who are out of town, so I have to repeat it, okay? So if I hear the question right, you say, well, how about things like, you know, justice, or, you know, that, you know, those kind of changes which may be seen to be producing injustice. I mean, does one just, is that just is, and one just accepts that as it is, and that's fine? Is that what you're asking? I want to make sure. Yeah. So, and we have to be careful here that we don't mistake what's being said here. So this is very... This is about how to, what you're calling justice or injustice is, there's no such thing as justice and injustice, right? Something that you might be calling unjust, somebody else might think just, You know, they're getting their just deserves, right? Yeah, people like that should, you know, isn't that true? That justice and injustice are relative concepts, and that people speak the same words, but it has very different meaning. Is that not true? Right. And justice and injustice is referring to simply something is happening. Right? Somebody is being put in jail for something. Okay? That's a fact, isn't it? Everybody can agree on that. Now, whether that's just or unjust, that's in the world of what? Views. Is that true? Yeah. Yeah. So these are sufferings. Right. If we're talking about something like genocide that's happening, you're talking about it because it's happening. Why is it happening? Because of causes and conditions. Lots of them are causing this unfolding in the world, which is causing people to be killed, murdered. Is that not true? Okay, now, the problem with justice is injustice is perhaps those people who are doing the killing think their killing is just. They're getting revenge, you see. So we want to take a bigger picture. We accept the reality that's what's happening, right? Now, he says, how do we relate to the suffering of the world? Compassionately. In Buddhism, the word for compassion, karuna, does not just mean empathy. It means an active desire to alleviate the suffering of the world. But it doesn't, it sees the suffering, you know, both sides are suffering. Right? Today's perpetrators might have been last year's victims. Is that not true? Yes. So we want to see bigger picture. Right? So we're not indifferent to the suffering. We're not indifferent to the injustice. But we look deeper to what's really causing it. Because really, what so many of these endless injustices that we perceive in the world are symptoms of something deeper in human minds, right? Hatred, right? Selfishness, self-centeredness, right? Indifference to others, lack of sense of connection to others, intolerance. Right? And those infect many people on all sides of an issue, don't they? And so, you know, we want to look deeply if we want to rid the world of its suffering to see what's really causing it. Not what caused it today, but on a deeper level. I mean, is that clear? So it's not indifference. It's understanding, yeah, things are the way they are because of causes and conditions. Even the worst things. There's always a reason. Right? Somebody's doing something. Somebody believes something. So, you know what I mean? It's a cause. And there, you know, historical causes, there are lots of causes. And there are lots of conditions that allow those causes to come forth. Right? So we see in our own country right now, there's lots of hatred, lots of intolerance, right? But those are in people's minds. And they're causes why they're in people's minds. When the conditions are ripe, they flourish. When the conditions aren't ripe, they don't flourish, just like plants. Yeah, so we certainly want to create conditions that nurture the wholesome, don't we? I mean, that's another Dharma talk. Okay. But I mean, does that answer your question? Okay. Yes, behind you. Charlie, did you have...
Periods of change. Mm-hmm.
So when I faced my retirement and I retired, I detached from that job. I was ready to detach from that job just from that job.
Mm-hmm.
But I realized that as I had detached from that job, then there were all these tendrils of other attachments that I didn't like, so relationships, lifestyle. That was something that was all like different. And it really upset my mind. So then I was thinking, well, then when one enters a big change like that, one has to be, I guess, move slowly and be ready for that kind of ripple effect. But then as we talk more, I guess it became clear to me that, you know, this thing about attachment and non-attachment is not one individual event. It's a broader attitude.
Yeah. Let me tell you what retirement is. It's none of what you just said. It means one day you wake up and you don't go to work anymore. I mean, that's all it is, isn't it? Right? I mean, what's the issue? You know? Right? I mean, explain it to me. I mean, one day you wake up and you don't go to the office. Right? Yeah, things are changing. I mean, you know, just be present to change. Don't fight it. Don't be attached. Don't push it away. Yeah, just, I mean, it's simple. You know? If you're not attached. I mean, there's the key. If you're not attached. If you're attached, you'll suffer. Yep. It'll be complicated. You'll have to work through lots of things. It'll go on forever. Or you just wake up the next day and you go, yeah, you know, brand new day, 24 new hours. What do I want to do today? You know, the funny thing is, you know, people go to work every day and they complain about going to work. I wish I don't have to go to work. Like I said, you know, and then they retire and they complain about not going to work. I mean, you know, think about it. The mind of attachment, the mind of dissatisfaction, it's always scheming. So we don't have rest. Right? Every day is a good day. Right? It's good when you go to the office. It's good when you don't go to the office. Right? That's the life of a Buddha. That's what he's trying to help us to see here. It deals with just these kind of issues. Retirement, work. Don't be attached. When you're in the workforce, you're in the workforce. When you're not in the workforce, you're not. I mean, there's lots of other stuff you can add on to that, but that's the simple fact. You know, and the question is, what do you want to do? If you like work so much, go find a job. Right? Yeah. Or maybe you can explore other possibilities in life. Yeah, so think about what's been shared today. Think about your life. Think about this. Refraining from unwholesome actions. This is the simple way to become a Buddha. Everybody in here can become a Buddha. You may not end up looking like that, as I pointed out. But in your mind, you can have a Buddha mind. Refrain from unwholesome actions, not attached to birth and death, compassionate toward beings, respectful and kind, don't exclude or desire anything with no designing thoughts or worries. Now, again, you might say, well, but hold on, can I want to go out, desire to go out for dinner on the weekend, or can I desire to get a new this, right? Can I desire to have a better job? You know what I mean? So, I mean, we're lay people. So as lay people, we live in the world of desire, right? He was a monk. So it was a little easier for him. He renounced it all. So the key here for people like us is, you know, attachment. Scheming. Strategizing. It's all that stuff. Yeah. Would it be nice to go out to dinner this weekend? Yeah. If I don't go out, so what? Right? Yeah. Would I like to, make more money, get a better job, have a better boss? Yeah. But if it doesn't happen, you know, I have the capacity to live with that. Because I know that happiness and well-being of mind and body do not depend on externals. So again, you can have desires, you can have that, but it's not, there's no attachment to them. That's what this is about. Yes?
Isn't the desire to want to be a Buddha?
Yeah, but it's a good one. Yeah, so you take, what's your name again? Paul, yeah, so you take all those desires that go in all the unwholesome directions, you know all those? Right. All right, so you take all those and you bring them together, right? You take all your desire and you put it to this place, which will bring good things, all right? When you get there, you won't have to desire it anymore. Yeah, but there, yeah, so, yeah, it's not, yeah, that's a good desire to be happy. It's a good desire. It brings good things, right? It's a desire to be wholesome, have a wholesome mind, good things. It's a desire to have loving relations. Yeah, those are good desires. But, you know, there's a certain point where it'll become you. It'll be natural to you. You won't have to be desiring. You know, it's like when you achieve your desires, then you don't have to desire anymore, right? Oh, because desire is a state of unease. Anybody remember really desiring something? It's a state of the mind is ill at ease. It's agitated. But when you get what you want, then what? Oh, I can relax. Right, I can enjoy it. Is that clear? So you want to live in that state of I really, you know, my true goals I can achieve within myself. Right? They're not dependent on externals. So in that way, you can be in the world of desire without the attachment, without the neediness, without the strategizing. Does that make sense, Paul? This thing keeps slipping. I'm sorry. Can everybody hear me? Or could they hear me? Yeah. Are there any other, anything not clear? Yes, sir. Yeah, so I like that. Yeah, so yeah, it's very much like that. Right, so you can't just... Oh, so... Here's the guy upstairs going, repeat the question. So the question is, so if these five are your goals, are they something that you kind of work on very intentionally, you know, throughout the day, throughout the week, over the months and years, but you also are kind of at ease with them? It's not as if you fault yourself or jump on yourself for not achieving them. Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's, you know, it's again, it's sort of an interesting point, right? On the one hand, you're right, right? We are a work in progress. That's why I use the example of you know, if you're learning an instrument and you hit wrong notes, right? Yeah, I mean, you're not going to play anything perfectly the first time, right? It takes time. And the time it takes is to be hitting lots of wrong notes, right? But correcting them. So that's the practice. That's what you're doing. This is like, yeah, you know how the piece sounds. You know how you could be, right? If you realized and lived all this. But you're not there yet, are you? You know, you're probably still hitting 80% wrong note, right? And that's just where you're starting. So you're absolutely right. It's just practice, and you just have to be consistent in your practice and not be in any way critical of yourself. You know what I mean? You understand you're a work in progress.
Question, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So, yes, actually, in the tradition, there's a whole tradition where in terms of wholesome, unwholesome, I mean, this is before, PDAs and everything, they used to have, you put a bunch of white stones in this pocket. And every time you had a wholesome deed or something, you moved it to the other pocket. Or at the end of the day, you would evaluate. In this way. Yeah, I think, again, if you can evaluate just in this very open way, I think it's absolutely right. Yeah, there has to be some accountability. Or how do you know, you're getting anywhere? And I think that's important, because I meet lots of people who've been practicing spiritual paths, meditation, all this stuff for years, and yet still are kind of personally in the same place. Right? And to me, that's no. I mean, if you're practicing correctly, you should be healing. You should be transforming. The fruit should be ripening. Right. So, I mean, not every day, but, I think that self-awareness and that criteria, what it's supposed to look like, right? You know what I mean? What a wholesome mind or a wholesome thought or wholesome action or wholesome speech looks like. You know, what attachment and non-attachment look like. And to kind of have that self-awareness with some criteria. Yeah, I don't know how you could progress without it. I mean, how do you progress in anything if there's no criteria? So, yes, so I think you're absolutely right. Right, but it's not, self-critical, it's not beating yourself up. It's not, we need to learn to work with ourselves in a healthy way. Right? Supportive, kind, understanding, and yet keep it moving. Right? Okay? Does that answer your question? Yeah, and that's, you know where you want to go. It's like, climbing a mountain, right? I mean, it's good to look back every now and then to see whether you're making progress. If you keep looking back and it's the same site, after 2 weeks, you might go, something's wrong here, and I should be, closer there and further away from that. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that kind of common sense and accountability, is important.